Adventure into Fear. Welcome to Adventure into Fear. This is your host, Tony Roberts, to take you on a personally conducted tour into the world of the strange, the mysterious, the uncanny, and the unknown. Remember, none of these things you'll hear about could possibly happen to you. Or could they? To our story. I hope it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we meet two interesting individuals who hit upon a novel line of business, that of ghost makers. In the little New England village of Wilton, in an old colonial house just across the road from the town's ancient cemetery, you're having tea with your wealthy spinster aunt, Agatha Wainwright. Your name is Ned Wainwright, and you're her only living relative. You're spending a few weeks with your aunt Agatha, not because you love her, but because you love her money. You urgently need to get your hands on some of it, and to help you in this interesting project, you've invited a friend to visit you. Your friend calls himself Professor Piedmont. He's a small, bright-eyed little man who's ostensibly traveling round New England, working on a book to be called Old Graveyards of New England. He's just arrived, and the three of you are having a nice, cozy time drinking tea and talking about cemeteries.
Well, Professor Piedmont, if it's cemeteries you're interested in, the one across the road ought to keep you busy for several days. Some of the worst rascals in all New England are buried in it. But for the life of me, I can't see why a grown man finds pleasure in staring at tombstones. More tea?
No, thank you. But tombstones make a fascinating study, Miss Wainwright. After 30 years, I haven't grown tired of them.
I'll take your word for it. For myself, I prefer to read about them in books.
Professor Piedmont not only writes books, Aunt Agatha, he's also an expert on psychic phenomena.
Psychic phenomena? Oh, you mean ghosts. Foolish fiddle-faddle dreamed up by silly people who are without the brains to know better.
Ah, but Miss Wainwright, I assure you, you're wrong.
When a person's dead, he's dead. When I see anything I'm willing to call a ghost, I'll know I'm crazy and admit it.
Better be careful, Aunt Agatha. This house is supposed to be haunted. You know that.
Rubbish. I've lived here all summer, and I haven't heard as much as a board squeak.
But that may be only because you're new to the house. It takes time to become aware of occult influences. I feel them present very strongly. Malignant influences, wishing you evil.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. How did we get started on this rubbish anyway? Now let's finish our tea, and no more talk about ghosts.
You finish tea, Ned, and later, along with Professor Piedmont, you outline to him the interesting and ingenious scheme in which you desire his assistance.
It's like this, Professor. 3 months ago, Aunt Agatha's brother died, leaving her an estate of $400,000.
I see. Light begins to dawn, Ned, my boy. If she were to die now...
No, wait. Unfortunately, my uncle arranged his will so that Aunt Agatha gets only the interest, about $20,000 a year, and this house to live in. On her death, the whole estate goes to charity. I'm cut off without a penny.
That's most unfortunate. I see your uncle didn't like you, Ned. He's being very shrewd, wasn't he?
Yes. He was making sure I couldn't get my hands on any of it. But, if Aunt Agatha were to become, shall we say,
ill. Mentally ill.
Clever, Ned. Very clever. You mean if she were to become incompetent to handle her estate, you'd be the administrator of it?
Yes. As her only relative, I'd handle her affairs for her. And I'd have the whole income for as long as she lived. So I don't want her to die.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't care for enterprises in which people die unexpectedly. They're so apt to be risky.
My only hope is for Aunt Agatha to lose her mind through shock or fright. And within the next 2 months, too. This is November. By January 1st, I've got to get my hands on money.
I see. You make it sound urgent.
It is. I owe about $25,000 to certain parties in Chicago. And they're rather tough when they don't get paid.
Yes, I do remember that you always liked to gamble, didn't you? But it's your affair. Personally, I prefer to stick to my own profession, creating ghosts to order.
That's why I sent for you. I remember some of the jobs you did when you were running that phony spiritualistic cult and extracting contributions from the suckers. Very effective.
Thank you, Ned. I've always prided myself on my workmanship in these matters.
Now, listen. This is what I want you to do. You heard Aunt Agatha say she didn't believe in ghosts.
Oh, yes, she was very firm about it.
Well, now, if she actually sees a ghost, or maybe a dozen of them, the shock...
Yes, I understand. But she's a tough-minded woman, hard to scare, hard to drive insane.
It's got to be done. My life depends on it. I know she's tough-minded, but... Professor, that's the very kind of person who is likely to crack suddenly under severe shock.
Yes, I've seen it happen many times. You're right. When the time comes, she may crack just like that.
And you're to see to what she does. If you succeed, there's $5,000 in it for you.
I'll do my best, Ned. All my apparatus is in my trunk. It'll be here tomorrow. And beginning tomorrow, this house is haunted.
The next day, the professor's trunk comes. And while you distract your aunt's attention, Ned, Professor Piedmont is secretly busy. In the evening, you're very careful not to talk about ghosts. You talk about the weather instead.
Listen to that wind. We may be in for a storm.
We're in for an early winter, that's what. The first snow will fall any day now.
It's good to have a fireplace to sit by when the wind blows like that.
Here is the cider and donuts, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Henry. Bring them over here.
Yes, cider and donuts and a roaring fire. What could be cozier?
Will you have a glass, Mr. Ned?
Oh, thank you, Henry.
How about you, Professor? You having cider? I say you having cider, Professor. Well,
Professor, Henry's trying to give you some cider.
Excuse me. I was listening. I thought I heard someone knocking on the front door.
Someone knocking?
There is someone there.
Can't be very anxious to get in, if that's all the noise he can make.
Shall I go see who it is, Miss Agatha?
Yes, Henry, go see. Though I can't imagine who'd be calling at this time of night.
Sounds like someone who didn't expect to get in anyway. Timid child, or maybe a ghost.
Yes? Who is it? Why, that is very funny. Miss Agatha.
Well?
There is nobody at the door.
No one there? Well, of course there is. Someone knocked, didn't they?
Maybe they did, but when I opened the door, there was no one there.
Then who was knocking? Answer me that.
I'm not prepared to say, but it was not anyone you can see.
Now, Henry, I'll stand for no foolishness from you.
No, ma'am. But just the same, there's nobody at the door.
Someone's playing tricks on us. And I'm going to see who it is.
I'll come with you, Aunt Agatha.
You can look all you like, but you will not find anybody there.
We'll see. Well, what is it? What do you want?
There isn't anyone here. Henry was right.
I slipped away into the bushes. That's what they did.
Yes, of course. Some small boys playing tricks, I suppose.
If I catch them, I'll tan their hides.
Who was it, Miss Wainwright?
Just some boys playing tricks. And that's all it could have been. Come on, Professor, drink your cider.
Yes, of course.
Professor, you looked as if you were listening to something. What was it?
Oh, no, no, no. I assure you.
I know when a man is lying, Professor Piedmont. What were you listening to?
Well, to tell the truth, I thought I heard voices.
What kind of voices?
Far away voices, crying something I couldn't make out. But it was just the wind, I'm sure it was.
Of course, that's all it was. Well, what do you say we turn in?
This New England air makes me sleepy.
Knocks at the door when nobody's there. And voices. Yes, it's high time we were all in bed, instead of sitting around here imagining things.
You get to bed that night well satisfied, Ned. You've made an excellent beginning. Aunt Agatha is somewhat shaken, though she won't admit it. But before you retire, you hold a low-voiced conference with Professor Piedmont.
Well, Professor, that door-knocking act was all right. You did it very nicely.
Isn't it an ordinary length of black thread run through a crack in the window sash and attached to the door knocker creates a very satisfactory ghost indeed.
Now, what comes next on the program?
We can't work too fast, Ned, my boy. Tomorrow, the hired man Henry will spread the story of tonight's happenings. The whole town will start whispering about it.
Good. And then?
Tomorrow night, nothing will happen. Your aunt is reassured. Ah, but tomorrow I'll be busy. I noticed an old hollow tree in the woods about 100 feet from the house.
Well, what about it?
I'll run wires to it, hiding them under the lawn, and install a small loudspeaker in it. I'll conceal the microphone and amplifier behind the drapes in the living room.
Good. Then 2 nights from now we'll hear ghostly voices, right?
Exactly. They'll accompany the ghostly knocks on the door. Yes, but that won't be all. There'll be other surprises on the program.
Professor, remind me sometime to tell you that you're a very unpleasant old rascal.
The next evening, as the three of you sit around in the living room with the wind whistling outside, you can see your aunt, Ned, waiting nervously for something to happen. But nothing happens, and she seems reassured when bedtime comes. But the evening after that, things do happen, just after the clock strikes 9.
9 o'clock. The evening may just be starting in New York, but here at Wilton, it's bedtime. There seems to be someone at the door.
So there is.
Shall I go, Aunt Agatha?
No, Ned. Let the rascals play their tricks, whoever they are. They'll soon stop when they see we pay no attention.
I'll see if I can get a look at them from the window.
Maybe we could trap them if we were to go out quietly by the back door and slip around to the front.
Let me in. Let me in.
What was that?
Let me in. In the name of heaven, let me in.
It's someone calling.
Someone calling? I don't hear anyone.
I tell you, I heard someone.
It's someone calling to us to let him in.
It was funny. I can't hear him.
You must have heard it, Ned. It was perfectly plain.
Well, there are some voices certain people can hear that others can't. If there is someone calling, we'd better take a look.
Yes, of course. Come on, Auntie. We'll have a look.
It's just more tricks of those dad-ratted boys, I'm sure of it.
Let me in. Let me in. Let me in.
Now we'll see. Who's there? Show yourself, whoever you are.
The yard's perfectly empty.
There isn't a soul in sight.
Both the knocking and the voice seem to have stopped.
Perhaps we ought to search the yard. Aunt Agatha, look. Down at the edge of the trees.
Lights. Three balls of light moving around just above the ground.
Really? Three spheres of light? Oh, dear me. Luminous spheres are common manifestations of spiritual presence.
Ned, they're rising. They're floating away above the trees. They've gone.
Aunt Agatha, are you all right? Shall I get a doctor for you?
What do I want with a doctor? I'm all right. I'm just an old fool carrying on like that because of some will-o'-the-wisps. I shan't do it again, I promise you.
You need not be ashamed. Miss Wainwright, unless I am much mistaken, we have witnessed a psychic visitation unequaled in my experience.
Stuff and nonsense. You may believe in spirits, but I don't. I never have believed in ghosts, and I'm not going to start now.
So far, you've done well, Ned, in your little scheme to drive your aunt out of her mind. But now it's impossible to shake her nerves any further. Henry the hired man and Stella the maid resign in terror. But your aunt remains seemingly unmoved. And you're getting desperate, Ned. It's December, and the end of the year is coming close. And you see all hope of getting your hands on Agatha's money fading away.
Professor, you're a washout. Aunt Agatha hasn't turned a hair at your ghost since those first two nights.
I still say it may happen suddenly. She's nervous and not sleeping well. Every evening she sits listening for ghostly voices, although she won't admit it.
Well, what do you suggest? It's the middle of December. I've got to get my hands on the money by the end of the year or I'm sunk.
We must play our last card. You.
Me? What do you mean?
She's very fond of you. You're her only relative.
What are you getting at?
How would she feel if you, her only relative, were to die and come back to her as a ghost? Quite a shock, huh?
I don't follow you.
My plan is simple. We will say goodbye to your aunt and drive off. And then, secretly in the night, we will return to the house.
And then what?
She will receive a call from a friend of mine in Boston. He will tell your aunt that you and I have been in an automobile accident, that we're dead.
I see. Yeah, I'm beginning to get it.
Immediately after the phone call, we will knock. She will come to the door and see us standing there.
And having just heard that we're both dead?
Exactly. If that doesn't work, we're defeated. But it will be a strong mind indeed that can withstand such a shock. A strong mind indeed.
So, Ned, you put into effect the professor's diabolically clever plan. 2 days later, you and Professor Piedmont say goodbye to your Aunt Agatha and drive away. It's bitterly cold, and snow is beginning to fall. You drive to a motel and spend the night waiting, killing time. After darkness has fallen, you start back toward your aunt's place. But now, there are many inches of snow on the road, and the cold blast of the north wind makes even the heated interior of the car uncomfortable. You're anxious to get back into the warm house.
Oh, it's cold! I'll be glad when this is over, Ned. Must be almost zero.
Yeah, at least. Well, we're almost there. We'll drive up to within 100 yards of the house and wait in the car for a while. What time did you arrange to have that phone call made from Boston?
At 9 o'clock exactly. We want to knock the instant after she gets it.
Right. Isn't that our turn there?
I think so. Snow makes it so hard.
Professor, look out! We're going off the road! We're going off the road!
Then it happens, Ned. The car skids on the slippery road, goes down a steep embankment, turns over on its side. For a moment, you lie stunned. Then fiery pains begin shooting through your ankle. Professor Piedmont forces open the door and bends over you.
Ned! Ned, are you hurt?
My ankle! Help me out of here!
Yes, of course. Take my hand. Come on now. I smell gas. The car may catch fire.
A little more now.
I'm almost out.
That's it. Now, help me up onto the road.
You can lean on me, but where are we?
Quarter of a mile from Aunt Agatha's. And there isn't another house within a mile.
Well, then, come on. We've got to get there quick. Lean on me and help all you can. If we don't get there soon, we'll freeze to death.
Clinging to the professor, you hobble along through the snow, and the wind slices into your face. Now and then you slip and fall, Ned, and your ankle hurts so that you could scream aloud. Slowly you get more and more numb, but you struggle on. You have to, or die. And you don't want to die. You want to live. You want terribly to live. And so, after the worst half hour in your life, you and Professor Piedmont reach Agatha Wainwright's house.
Here's the house, Ned. Thank heaven we've made it. I'm exhausted.
Look, she's closed all the shutters.
Well, that was our suggestion to keep out any spirit who might come knocking in the night.
We've got to get inside. I'm almost frozen. Help me get up these steps.
Yes, Ned. One more step. There, that's it. Now, let's knock.
You both knock and listen. Inside, Agatha Wainwright hears you. But just as she starts for the door, the telephone rings. And since it's right beside her, naturally she answers it first.
Just a moment, whoever you are at the door. Hello. Yes, this is Miss Agatha Wainwright. The Boston General Hospital... My nephew, Ned. What is it? What's happened to him? Dead. An automobile accident. Both of them killed. Oh, no. No. Yes, yes, I'm all right. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. I'll come in the morning. Ned killed. Oh, no. No, he couldn't be. What? Who is it?
Ned Agatha! It's Ned! Let me in! Please, let me in!
No. Ned's dead. He's dead.
Let us in! Let us in!
No, you can't be Ned! Ned was killed a little while ago. He's dead.
Ned Agatha, please open the door!
He's dead. If he's out there now, he's a ghost. The professor was right. There are ghosts.
Ned Agatha, we're freezing. You've got to let us in!
No! You can't come in! You're Ned's ghost! You can't come in! I won't open the door for you! I won't let a ghost in here! Never! Never, never, never!
Tony Roberts again. Did you enjoy our adventure into fear? What happened to Ned and Professor Piedmont? Oh, their little plan worked. Altogether too well. Yes, Aunt Agatha's mind cracked at last, just as Professor Piedmont predicted it might. Unfortunately, nothing could make Aunt Agatha open that door after she'd learned that Ned and Professor Piedmont had been killed in an accident. When morning came, the bodies of Ned and the professor were found frozen stiff beneath the shuttered windows they'd vainly tried to open. Too bad. It was such a clever scheme. Ah, well, considering where they are now, they no longer need money. And besides, they tell me it never gets cold there. Goodbye now. And be with us again next week when we... Adventure into fear.